In January of 1993, it was the first time that scientists had actually detected gold particles in an active volcano, of all things. Dr. Goff stated that the Galeras volcano was spewing more than a pound of gold each day into the atmosphere and depositing 45 pounds of gold yearly in the rocks that were lining the crater. He estimated there was a gold vein that was at least 10 feet wide at the volcano base. And just as the volcano's high heat and pressure can bring forth gold from below the surface of the earth, the pressure and fiery trials of our lives can also bring forth spiritual gold too. If we draw close to God during difficult times, we find the gold of increasing faith, character, wisdom, and nearness to God. And today I want to reflect with you on this reality in one of the prophets' lives by the name of Jeremiah, and continue with you on my series, A Sacred Sorrow. You know, one of the realities of our lives is that at times it can seem like we're in a volcano, or maybe we are the volcano, whatever it might be. And it can be very difficult and challenging at times. And Jeremiah's entire life, in a way, was like that, believe it or not. As you know, in ancient Israel, when you were given a name, it was not just a name. It was actually your identity. It spoke about the destiny of your life. And Jeremiah's name actually means the Lord casts down. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had known that that was what my name meant when I got it, I would have asked for another name. The Lord casts down. But you know, actually, as you and I take a little bit of time today to reflect on his life, you and I will realize that he was aptly named for all that he was going to go through. First of all, Jeremiah was born in a poor village by the name of Anatoth. It was actually a rundown territory in Benjamin, and it was actually in a desert that was deserted. So not only was it a desolate place, but it was a very deserted, desolate place, as deserts go. He was a descendant of Abiathar, and actually, this was a treacherous priest who had sought to rob the throne from Solomon, of all people. And because of that, his priestly family had been barred from ministry. In addition to that, Jeremiah had been barred from marriage because he was involved in an end-time ministry. Things were not looking up for Jeremiah. Now you can understand why he was given the name that he was, but not done yet. He also saw Israel disintegrate morally and within, and also destroyed militarily, with the Jews exiled to foreign lands because they didn't listen to his prophetic words. And so we see in the life of Jeremiah, I mean, let me just say this. If you thought you had it bad, you might just want to think about Jeremiah a little bit and spend a little bit of time in Jeremiah and be encouraged at least that if you have had it bad, you have a brother, if you will, in Jeremiah. You know, one of the things about the ministry of a prophet in ancient Israel, there were some things that characterized it. One is that they were called by God to be a prophet. More often than not, when you look at the call of the prophet, they did not want to be a prophet. They didn't want to listen to God's call because they had an idea of what that meant. But to a person, they usually obeyed that call from God ultimately. And one of the other things about a prophet in Israel is that their words needed to come to pass. If their words did not come to pass, they were considered a false prophet, and they would be stoned to death. You can understand why some people weren't looking for this as their day-to-day job kind of a thing. And then the other thing about a prophet is that usually they spoke out things, they proclaimed things that people didn't like to hear. They would speak words of judgment. They would speak words of exile. They would speak words that of destruction. And so, you know, at the end of the day, people didn't really want to hang out with a prophet. They were prophets usually of rough news and bad news. And so you see that for the prophet, this is a very difficult call. It's a very challenging call. And yet Jeremiah said yes to the Lord. If you look at the beginning of Jeremiah, you'll see that he was called from the very beginning to be a prophet, and that's how long this call was on him in his life. And Jeremiah remained close to God through lament, through expressing his sorrow and his brokenness to God. And this is important for you and I to realize whenever we're going through a time of sorrow or struggle or brokenness in our life, in relationship to God, we really have a couple of choices. One is we withdraw from God and we go in the other direction. We're angry at God and we really don't connect with him anymore for the rest of our lives. Or we press into God, like Jeremiah. We decide to draw close to God, and we decide that God is going to be a source of strength to us through it. And Jeremiah chose that path. Jeremiah chose to draw close to God through his time of sorrow, through his time of lamentation, which was really most of his life. So you might be wondering, what exactly did Jeremiah lament about? What was his sorrow? What were some of the struggles in his life? Well, one of the first things Jeremiah lamented about is found in your bulletin today in the first Old Testament lesson, and I invite you to turn to that. One of the things Jeremiah lamented about was God's unfaithful people. He was upset with the people of Israel. He says in here, "Why do the wicked prosper and the faithless live a life of ease? You're always on their lips, but you are far from their hearts." And so what we see in the words of Jeremiah from the very beginning is he is lamenting before God about the wicked of Israel. He says to him, you know, why do you let these people live? Why do you give them breath? The land is cursed because of them, basically. Things aren't going well in the nation. What's happening here? And for me, this comes under the title of Jeremiah, Tell Me How You Really Feel. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. Have you ever felt like that about somebody before? Somebody maybe in the family, somebody who used to be a friend. You know, friends you can kind of move on from. Family, well, family's family. What can you say, right? For better, for worse, kind of. And so, you know, here we see Jeremiah fed up with the people of Israel. And he was expressing his sorrow before God because of that, because of who he was having to deal with, and because they were unfaithful to him. Another area in which Jeremiah struggled with sorrow was in relationship to God himself. This is not in your lesson today, but you might want to jot this down if you've ever had a time in your life where you've been angry at God, where you've been upset with him. I won't ask for a show of hands, but if you've been in that place before, maybe you are in that place, you might want to turn to Jeremiah 20 at some point, verses 7 to 9. And you'll be able to read about Jeremiah's own experience about his sorrow and his lament about God himself. He says to God that you've deceived and overpowered me. Imagine saying that to God. That's how Jeremiah felt. Everyone mocks me. Your word, God's word, has brought me nothing but insult. And so we see in the words of Jeremiah, what is Jeremiah saying here? You know what? Basically, what Jeremiah is doing, he's just being honest. This is exactly what has happened to him because he's followed God. People have insulted him. People don't hang with him. Jeremiah is pretty much alone. People mock him because of what they've said. And to boot, the only reason why I'm in this boat, God, is because you've called me to be your prophet. You have deceived and overpowered me. It's only because of you I'm in this place. And so you see, Jeremiah cries out to God. He laments over God himself. and God's call in his life. And yet if you read the rest of those verses, verses 9, he says also to the Lord that your word in my heart is like fire. Have you ever been in a situation where you tried not to say something, but you did anyways? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I'm not alone. Some of this might have just happened yesterday, I guess, from what I can tell here. And you see, that's how it was for Jeremiah. The word of the Lord was like fire in his heart, and he just had to speak it. He tried to keep it down. Maybe he bit his tongue for a while. Maybe he tried to keep his mouth shut for a few days. But that word just came forth because that's what God's word was meant to happen in his life. It was meant to come forth from the prophet and be spoken to the people of Israel so at least they would have a chance to repent. At least they would have a chance to listen to God. And if they didn't, they would know what was coming as well. And so you see, Jeremiah's lament before God had to do with God himself. So Jeremiah's sorrow was about God's unfaithful people all around him. It was about God himself and God's call in his life. And finally, the third area that Jeremiah lamented was his own life. And again, if you'd like to read about this, you can go to Jeremiah 20, verses 14 to 18. Jeremiah says in those verses, "Cursed be the day that I was born. Why did I ever come out of the womb?" Have you ever felt like that before? I just talked to somebody at the earlier service, and they said to me, you know what? They told me this at the beginning of the service. It was the most amazing thing. They didn't know I was going to preach on. They said, you know what? I didn't even want to get out of bed this morning. I was so depressed, but I came anyways. Boy, did they come on the right day. Of all the days to get out of bed and come, they came on the right day. So, you know, you and I have been in that place before where, you know, you're so down and maybe there's struggles. You just don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You pull the covers over your head and you say, forget about it. If you've ever had that experience, go to Jeremiah 20, verses 14 to 18, and read about the prophet of God who had that experience as well. Why did you ever let me even draw breath? Why did you allow me to be born? Why did you let me go through this experience in my life? And you know, maybe you haven't gone through this, maybe you haven't experienced this, but just know there are people in life who this is their daily experience. They are depressed, they're struggling with anxiety or whatever, they have a hard time wanting to even live. And just know that they are not alone. There are other people in life who go through this, and they need to hear that they're not alone. They need to hear that God loves them and cares for them. So what do you do in the midst of this reality? You know, why did you get out of bed and come to this service today to hear a message like this that is so depressing, right? You could have done so many other things with your time, right? I hear you. Well, believe it or not, this is to be a message of hope to you. And the hope is this. These things are all part of the human experience. All of us go through times where we are struggling and sorrowful over the people around us, or maybe with God himself, or even our own lives and what we're going through. It's part of being a human being. It's part of what we're going through. And the other thing that you and I need to realize is that as Christians, a lot of times we operate under the false notion that when we come to church or part of some kind of Christian activity, that we have to have it all together, that we always have to be smiling, that everything always has to be hunky-dory. Guess what? It doesn't. Because that's not what life is about. And Jeremiah and Isaiah and Mary and Jesus and all of these wonderful, holy, and great people, men and women of God, all had mountaintop experiences, and they all had experiences in the valley as well. And you know, the good news for you and me is that God wants to meet us in each of those places. You know, some of you have made the mistake that God only wants to be with you when you're doing the right thing and when you have it all together. But that is not true. God wants to be with you in the valley as well. God wants to be a source of strength for you in the midst of your sorrow. He wants to be with you through struggle. He even wants to be with you when you don't want to be with him. Look at the stories about that. Jeremiah, God hung with him. Read the story about Jonah. You got to read the end of that story where God enabled a plant to grow and then a worm came along to kill the plant. And Jonah was angry at God about that. And God never abandoned Jonah. He was with him the whole time through the belly of the well all the way to when the plant died. And Jonah was still angry at God. God was ministering to him. God wants to be with you in the valley as well as the mountaintop. So what do? Well, I got a Hebrew word I want to teach you today. Can you say this after me? Aka. Aka. One more time. Aka. So if you're ever really upset and angry, and there's some people around you, and you just need to get it out, but you don't want them to know where you're at, just say the word aka. Because what that means, you got my permission. Aka. I'm going to tell you what it means in a moment. Aka is the Hebrew word for lament. And it basically means how, with a question mark. In other words, how did you let me be in this situation? How could you let this happen to me? Aka, God, what's going on, right? How, God, what's going on? How could you let me be going through this? How could this have happened to me? Has anybody here ever asked that question before? It's a derivative of why, of that why question. It's the same question. And you know, one of the things I'm learning, I don't know about you, but the question of how or why really isn't, you know, I don't know for you. I don't know what the answer is for you, why you've gone through what you've gone through, how it is you came to be in the situations that you went through and are going through. I don't know the answer, and you probably don't either. But I do have a word to share with you that I think is helpful. The Lord wants to be with you through it. The Lord wants to be with you through it. And you know what? I want to invite you into a prayer that, again, you might not have expected. And I'm hoping this message today is shattering some of you. Like last week, live, shattered by hope. I hope this message is shattering some of you and your image of God. And the way I hope it's shattering it is that you might have a sense of being able to go to God when you're a mess, as well as when you have it all together. Because those are some of the most important times to go to God, when you really need him and you're struggling. So there's an insert in your bulletin that I'd like you to pull out. And on one side of it, it's entitled A Lament. That's the one we're going to do. You didn't fix me, you joined me. Oh, how many of us here today have wanted God to fix it? Both hands up. I'll put both of mine up. I'm putting both of mine up for that one. To fix that person already. How many years has it been? Oh, too long, right? However many years it's been too long. Take them home to glory with you, Lord, already, or take me, because I'm just going nuts already. Will you please fix them? Or will you fix the situation? And A, B, C, D, E, F, G, this is exactly how I want you to do it. Right? Oh, good. I'm not the only one who prays that one, too. Just to let you know, I've been asking God to fix certain things certain ways for a number of years now. He's not doing it on some of them. Some prayers, like that. I can't. You did that like that, and I've been waiting for decades for this one, and you're still not doing it. And I just want to, I don't mean to offend you or anything, but I just want to give you a clue, because the clue's coming to me. It's like, I might not get that. It might not happen in my life because for some reason it's not supposed to be a part of my life. Okay. So this lament, you didn't fix me, you joined me, is a whole new way to pray. Again, it's a lament that Michael Card wrote. It's from his book, A Sacred Sorrow. And I want to invite you to join me in this. We're going to say this all aloud as our closing prayer together. And there's some things in here that might rock you. You might not really agree with it, but that's okay. Part of my ministry is to stretch you and to encourage you to begin to look at God in a different way. So let's pray this together. You didn't fix me, you joined me, and begin to realize that God joining us may just be the greatest gift of all.